Everyone, this is Brother Brennan coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another special edition of the Fishers of Men video broadcast. Good to be here today, and just kind of monkeying around here with some things. I think that's a little bit better. So it's good to be here. This is, we're going to be talking about today about Saul's conversion. And we're going to be talking about how Saul was converted. And we're going to kind of just have some fun in the Lord tonight. If I mumble on and on and on, I apologize. It's been a while since I did a teaching, and I'm trying to get back into it, and it's really hard to do so. And lately, I've had a really, really rough few days. But, you know, I thank God that I have a place of my own, and a place, you know, to where I can, you know, have my own privacy. So pray for me. Pray for the video, pray for my ministry, pray just for God's will to be done. What else? I don't think that's really about it. Like I said, I'm kind of going through some things, so keep me in prayer, you know. Just some things I'm kind of shooken up about, but these things shall pass. So, and also, I'm thinking at a possible advancement opportunity at AutoZone. Thinking about, there is apparently an area that needs somebody that I'm thinking about doing, so I'm going to probably talk to my boss tomorrow, seeing what he can do to sort of, you know, advance me a little bit. So I'm going to be doing that tomorrow. What else? I can't think of anything else at the moment. But, it is good to be back on here. It's been a while since I've done videos, and there's a lot of things that are kind of, I guess, distractions I sort of just need to get rid of. So that way I can sort of focus on what I need to do. Anyways, does anybody have any prayers or praises they'd like to share, if any? had got back from Missouri this past Monday. Preached at Church of Many Blessings in the morning and evening. If you guys want to know the message I preached on, it's on Facebook on my page. You can go ahead and go under Facebook, under my page, and you'll find it. Just scroll down a little bit, you'll find it. Let's see here. So I got back from there. It was an honor to do so. Honor to go up there to cover for Brother Ron and stuff. It was good to take some time to get away a little bit to preach. Had the chance to see Pastor Mike and some people at Bethel. It was good to see them, and I really truly miss them, and my heart goes out to them. It was a productive trip. But if you have any prayers or praises, you can feel free to put them on there. I don't have any other announcements other than that. I will be preaching at the VA on the 29th, so pray for me on that. Pray that God will give me a message for our veterans. I'll be going over there the 29th to preach for them. And so it'll be good. It'll be a good time. Let's see here. What else? Don't have any other announcements. As you noticed, my laptop kind of the color seemed a little weird, and for some reason I don't know why it had some technical issues, but I am wanting to get a new laptop eventually. So pray for me on that. Please be in prayer. I'd like to get a new laptop so I can, you know, have something better than what I have now, so I can do a little bit more quality videos. In the case of something that happens to Facebook where they kick me off, or I don't know, if the Lord leads me to leave Facebook, I'm going to probably start broadcasting from YouTube in a situation to where I can no longer broadcast on Facebook. So if in a situation, if I can't broadcast on Facebook, I'm going to broadcast on YouTube live. And I'm still trying to figure out how to do that with getting it on sermon audio and stuff like that, because I can actually get the sermon audio stuff if I do it. If I can do it through Facebook, I can actually access the video and send it to YouTube and Sermon Audio both. So, with that said, I don't know what, you know, we're kind of getting into some interesting times with the persecution of God's people and the trials of God's people, and you know, so it's we're living in some interesting times. It doesn't surprise me very much, but anyways. So we're going to be talking about this evening. I'm going to be reading Saul's conversion. Now, here's what's interesting. We have, as far as I know, there is two Sauls in the Bible. You got Saul, son of Kish, who is in the Old Testament. Then you got Saul of Tarsus, who is in the New Testament. And we see that Saul, son of Kish, was the first king of Israel. He apparently started out strong, and it looked like he was a saved person. Unfortunately, later on in his life, he fell away and rejected the word. Rejected God, and that ended up with the result of him killing himself. Now, when you look at Saul of Tarsus, you see that Saul was a Pharisee. He really didn't start out very well because he was a Pharisee, and he wasn't saved. But you realize that he did get saved, and now he's home. So we're going to read this evening. I'm going to read in the book of Acts chapter 9. We're going to be taking a look at Saul's conversion. But before we do, if anyone can help me find the verse, I think it's in Revelation. And I think if I have it correct, I think it's going to be Revelation 11 or 12. And it talks about how they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I got to figure out here what, I think it's in maybe 13 or 12. I can't remember. Let's see here. If I can find it. Does anybody know the verse in Revelation where it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony? Does anybody remember that, where that verse is located at? I can't remember. If not, that's all right. We'll just sort of just go from there. But anyways, the Bible talks about, the Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, why do I mention that? Because I think any given, testimonies can be very powerful, especially testimonies of being converted and being born again. And we see that in Paul's life. Paul, thank you, brother. Revelation 12:11. So, if you have your Bibles, Revelation 12:11. Thank you very much. I knew it was somewhere around there, and I couldn't remember where it was. But Revelation 12:11. That's where we're going to go. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, when you take a look at that in that passage of Scripture, they overcame him. Who's him? Well, my guess is that is talking about Satan, because there is only one being that you really need to overcome, and that's Satan. Well, you got Satan, and you got all the devils that you have to overcome, but it's not us overcoming, it is Christ that lives within us. But they overcame him by what's, there's two things that's mentioned in this verse. By the blood of the Lamb. Okay, when I see the blood, I shall pass over you. Passover. Think about the first Passover. Okay, how did the firstborn of Israel survive? It was because God instructed them. Hang on a second. All right, sorry about that. First Passover, God instructed Israel to take an innocent lamb, which is a picture of Christ, take his blood and strike it on the doorposts. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hence the name Passover. Okay, so there is power in the blood of Christ. There's a lot more power in his blood than there are in the blood of bulls and goats. And we see here in the second part, it says, and by the word of their testimony. Okay, now Paul had quite a testimony. And actually you see later on in Scripture how he repeats how he got converted. And if there's any testimony that you should share with people, is how you became saved. How you became born again. And for those of you that don't know my testimony, let me tell you my testimony. Okay? It was around December of 2007. I don't know the exact date or time. But it was actually a Christmas break that I came down here, and when I came down to Arkansas to visit my folks, my mother and stepdad, and I visited them. I visited them on Christmas for Christmas break. It was during that time they have introduced me to Christ and who he was, and they planted that seed. Amen. But I think what they didn't realize is that the seed that they planted, they probably didn't realize that would actually grow into fruit and the thing and to grow and blossom into something that they didn't really care for very much. As sad as it is, I love my family. It's heartbreaking when you find that family is against you. because of the word of God. But back during that time, I received the Lord as my Savior, and they gave me a Bible. And at that time, I didn't really know anything about the King James. I didn't really know anything about the Bible translations. And so I actually got something that was of a different translation. Well, as time went on, God sort of put people in my life that pointed me in the direction of the King James Bible. So God had taken me from these New Age translations and pointed me in the direction to His one pure, inspired Word of God, the King James Bible. And the King James Bible is the only one that I will ever teach or preach out of, and that's final. Whatever God says in His Word is final. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in 2007. It's around Christmas time. 2008 is when I had gotten my calling into ministry. God had sort of taken me to different churches and kind of brought me from, as you know, the Bible says, glory to glory. And I was unfortunately baptized by a heretic. But I got baptized by submersion by a heretic. Anyway, so after that, I went through a year of internship there. That mega church didn't like me very well. I got kicked out of my afternoon course because I wore a suit to a youth service. So they kicked me out of my afternoon course, so I only went to the morning stuff. They were a church that were full of drunkenness and just lights off worship, secular nightclubism, and it was just pure witchcraft is what it was. Anyway, so I went through there and God put me through the ringer there, and He brought me out, started to serve. I actually got, God had given me the chance to get ordained back in 2014. And I served at a small Baptist church as a song leader. I could have actually worked my way up to being the senior pastor of that church. But God had different plans and things didn't work out the way they were supposed to. So God brought me down here. Well, I got down here in Arkansas, back down in Arkansas in 2015. I've spent about a year or two looking for a good church. I eventually came to Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I became members with them. And I actually joined the church through baptism, and at the time I didn't really realize why. I told the pastor I would. So I joined the church by baptism. And so I got baptized December 17th of 2017. I actually officially got baptized in a body of believers. And why that's significant, because I received the Lord December of 2007. So 10 years after getting saved, I actually got baptized into a body of believers. And so the Lord sort of just kind of, and there's a whole lot more to my testimony, but that's kind of that in a nutshell. And God has just been working on my life and dealing with me, and still is. My back's been hurting me a little bit, so pray for me on that. But God has been working and dealing with me on things, and God has been way too good in my life, more than I deserve. And because I am a lot of times a screw up, and sometimes, you know, I just don't even feel worthy to even do what I do. But God is merciful. God is gracious. God is long suffering. And God is bigger than I. He knows what's best for me. He's got my best interest in mind. He is my Father. But, you know, I thank God that I am who I am by the grace of God in Christ. So, that's kind of my testimony, as you will, of how I came to the Lord. But we're going to be taking a look at Saul's testimony. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to start in verse 1. All right. It says, and let me get my Bible in front of me. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughtered against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." So we see that Saul, he was a persecutor of the church, and he was a murderer. He consented unto Stephen's death. Saul, I mean, he really was like the chief of sinners. I mean, he did some really wicked things. But you know what? Saul got converted. He got born again. And he then became Paul. And instead of persecuting, he was being persecuted. And we'll see that here in this chapter. But it says that he wanted to bring those who had believed on Christ, he wanted to bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem. Now, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You want to know something? I think right there, Saul was getting his wake-up call. And he was on his way to persecute and have Christians put to death, because he followed Christ. But here's what is very interesting, though. The Lord Jesus said to Saul, he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Why do you think he said that? Why do you think he said, "Why hast thou persecutest me?" Because someone could take a look at that and say, well, how was he even persecuting Jesus Christ? See, Jesus Christ was in heaven. He wasn't persecuting him. He was persecuting his believers. Well, the answer to that is very simple. Jesus said that whatsoever you've done unto these little ones, you've done unto me. And whatsoever things that you haven't done unto these little ones, you haven't done unto me. In other words, because Saul was persecuting the disciples of Christ, he was in return persecuting Jesus Christ himself. I want that to be a lesson for all of us. God says you're not to lay a finger on God's anointed. And God says that you are not to harm the children. You're not to harm the widows, the fatherless. You're not to harm orphans. You're not to lay a finger on them. Okay? Because whatever you do to them, you're not really doing to them. You're doing it to Christ. You are. We need to be very careful and very mindful of what we say and do towards others. Believers and non-believers. Both. Believers, if you did something wrong, God's going to chastise you for it. But the non-believers, whatsoever you do unto God's people, you're doing it not against them, you're doing it against Christ. Let that be a word of warning. Whatever you do against a Bible believer, you're really doing against Christ. If you don't believe me, go read that passage I just read. As a matter of fact, let's reread that. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now, you want to know something? It must have taken a lot of faith to get up and go. Because you want to know something? First of all, the Lord instructs him to go into the city. But there's not a location of where they were going to put him till probably much later. And secondly, he was blind. He couldn't see anything. So Saul's companions had to help him up to help him walk him into the city. And he was blinded because of the light that shone in the heavens. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Okay? He was blind. He didn't eat and he didn't drink. He was basically on a 3-day fast. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Now, isn't that interesting? Saul was blind. He couldn't see. And yet, the Lord says that he saw in a vision. That might kind of seem like an oxymoron, knowing that he couldn't physically see, but he had a vision. I think regardless if you're awake or if you're asleep, whether you can see or not, you can still have dreams and you still can have visions. In Saul's case, he was blind and he had a vision of a man named Ananias coming to pray for him. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem." So Ananias was one who knew who he was. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. You see, Ananias was very reluctant on going. He didn't want to go. He knew who Saul was, but God said, go. Let me ask you a question. Has the Lord told you to do something and you were reluctant on going? I think all of us had at some point or another. We're all guilty of being reluctant to not go. But we have to keep in mind that when God tells us to go, He wants us to go. Okay? I'll give you an example. There was a time in my life recently where, due to some circumstances in my life, God basically said it was time for me to get up and go. Just like how He called Abraham. And I could get up and go because it was getting to a point where I just wanted to go. But the hardest part was having to face all, you know, having to faithfully go through all that I went through even afterwards. But even getting up and moving is actually takes a big step of faith because you really don't know. I mean, you really don't know what to do or where to go or how to do things. But if God tells you to do something, He wants you to do it. Amen? And God is telling Ananias He wants him to go and pray for him. But this is what the Lord says. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, when you take a look at Paul's life, he went through a great deal. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned almost to the point of death. He was flogged. He was bit by a viper. He was imprisoned. And eventually, he was beheaded. He went through a lot of stuff. He went through a lot of trial and tribulation. But let's keep something in mind, okay? When Saul was persecuting the church, don't you think God's people would have been crying out and asking God to deal with this and to avenge their blood? Probably. I can't say whether they did or not. But I bet you that they were crying out to God for help. And even after being born again, Paul suffered greatly. He had suffered greatly because I have to be very careful because I don't want to make it seem like it's a works thing, but he had suffered greatly when he was causing people to suffer greatly. He suffered greatly when he became born again. I'll just leave it like that. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, has said, "Brother Saul." You see right there, Ananias called him brother. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeareth unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he received meat, food, remember, he was without food for 3 days. He was without food or water for 3 days. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. You see, we're gonna stop right there, and we're gonna wrap it up. Saul was the most vilest of sinners. He calls himself the chief of sinners. He was the chief of sinners, and he was evil and wicked. But God got a hold of him, and he got saved. Here's what I want to tell you. If there's anyone who will watch this, that think that you're too wicked for God to save you, you're wrong. Because Saul was wicked. He was a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees, and he persecuted the church and had people killed. He blasphemed. I mean, he was vile. And yet God got a hold of him and he got saved. It is possible for a wicked man to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think that you're too wicked and vile for God to save you, that, you know, you can think that, but God can save even the most wicked and vile sinner. And Paul was proof of that. So don't ever think that you're so wicked that God can't save you. Because he can. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and you believe that he died for you at the cross, and you put your faith and trust that he paid it in full, we'll be saved. It is not God's will for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The question I want to leave with you is this. Will you choose to surrender your life to Christ? Christ desires for you to be saved. He's not going to force himself on you, but he does desire for you to be saved. Will you choose to make Jesus Christ your Savior today? If not, if you repent of your sin, you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, you ask the Lord to come into your heart and life, you ask him to be the Lord and Savior of your heart and life, and ask him to fill you with his Spirit, you'll be saved. But it's not just repeating words, and it's not just saying a prayer and then getting it done. It's knowing that you are legitimately a sinner in need of a Savior. And I want you to keep this in mind. It's the Holy Ghost that brings you to Christ. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost that brings you to Christ. Listen, I love you guys. I know it's not a very lengthy teaching. I could have probably even put this as kind of a devotional, but I'm not going to do that. I think it would be a little bit of a long devotion. So we're just going to it's a teaching. Listen, I love you guys. And no matter what, the Lord, He loves you and He cares for you and He desires for all men to come to repentance. But the fact of the matter is there are going to be people who will deliberately reject the Word of God. And remember, whatever you do against God's people, you're not doing it against them, you're doing it against Christ. Amen. You're doing it against Christ. Jesus said that if whatever you do unto these little ones, you've done unto me. But whatever you haven't done unto these little ones, you haven't done unto me. Amen. Let's see. It is 11:35, so I think we're going to call it a night. But listen, I love you guys. Please pray for me. Please pray for my ministry. Pray that I'll get back into doing videos again. I want to get back into doing videos again. So pray for me on that. I've got such a nice setup here that it's really cool to see how this is all working out. Anyways, I love you guys. You pray for me. Pray for the video. Pray for, the sermon audio ministry, Facebook ministry, YouTube ministry. Please pray for all of them. Pray that God will take these messages and use them for His glory and His kingdom and His honor. Amen. Anyways, listen, I love you guys. You guys have a great night. God bless you. If you have any prayer requests or if you just want to talk, you just feel free to message me or anything at all. Just message me and I'll be more than happy to hear what you have to say. Amen. I love you guys. God bless you. You have a blessed night. And I will see you when I see you. God bless you guys. See ya. Love you. Bye.